for listening to this week's Wellspring Church Podcast.
5 weeks talking about love. I don't have a deep enough voice to make that appropriate. 5 weeks talking about not just love, but talking about the ooey, gooey, fairy tale kind of love, the fairy tale kind of romance that we see and that I think most people desire. I think most of you in the room, if you're single, most of you desire the fairy tale. You want to be swept off your feet. You want Ryan Gosling to look at you and say, "It's going to be hard, but we can make it." And you'll say, "Yes, I will make it work. Yes, yes, Ryan Gosling. It won't be hard at all." You know, if you're in the room and you're married, you know, obviously when you got married, you hoped it would be the fairy tale, and maybe it still is, maybe it's not. But I think we all really want it. One of the reasons I think we want it is because of what we just saw. Hollywood keeps selling it, and we keep buying it. How many times can they make the same movie with the same plot with increasingly attractive people? They seem to get more attractive and younger. The older I get, I don't know how it works. But they just keep making those movies, and you keep buying them, and you keep going to see them, and all the men are like, "Not me, I don't see those movies." And you're right, guys. It's not manly to admit that you get a little teared up. You get a little teared when Julia Roberts was standing in front of Hugh Grant, and she said that she was just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her. Now, the problem is half the guys in the room knew the line, so you've seen it quite a few times, right? But here's the deal, guys. Even guy movies are romantic movies at the core. Think about Die Hard. Is there a more guy movie than Die Hard? But the reason he did the whole thing was to impress his wife and to try to get her back. Take Taken. He went and rescued his daughter, but you know Liam Neeson the whole time was looking at his ex-wife saying, "That's right. What I just did." Uh-huh. See, I think the vast majority of us, you know, we've seen all these images on television and we have this picture of what we want marriage to be like and what we want love to be like. But the problem is when we get to the reality, we realize, oh, that's just a fairy tale. And what happens is we all begin to settle for much less. And the reason we're doing this series is because I don't think you have to. I don't think you have to settle. In fact, I don't believe God wants you to settle. I believe that God's design for love and for marriage is for it to be a happy marriage. Is for it to be a marriage full of love, a marriage full of romance. Dare I say, a marriage full of fairy tale love. And the reason I believe that, it's not from experience. Even though my marriage is fantastic, it's not just because of that. It's not just because I've seen other people have it. It's because right in the middle of God's love letter to humanity, right in the middle of his instructions for us on how to live our lives and how to follow him and how to do everything under the sun, right in the middle, he gives us this book that is all about love. And I don't mean the kind of love you have for your parents or the kind of love you have for your kids. Or the kind of love you have for your siblings. It's all about romantic love. And what I want to do is I want to spend the next few weeks walking through this book together, because I believe contained within it is some principles and some guidelines and some truths that we can all take and we can all apply to our lives. And if we do, I believe that the romance and the love and the excitement in our marriages will improve. I believe it with all of my heart. And the book we're going to study is a book called Song of Solomon. It's about a guy named King Solomon. He wrote it, and his wife. And in this book, what we see is we see them dating each other. We see them falling in love. We see them married. We see them on their wedding day. We see them on their wedding night. We see them a little later in life. The book's really cool. It kind of jumps around like a Quentin Tarantino movie. Like it starts in the middle, and then it goes to the beginning, then it goes to the end. It's also, just a warning, it's written in poetry. It's written in Hebrew poetry. Not a poetry guy myself. I'm happy if you are. It's just over my head. I don't do it well. But the reason it's written in Hebrew poetry
is, how do I say this? It's a pretty graphic book, for lack of a better word. You know how when you want to talk about things in front of your kids, but you don't want them to hear you spell? You know? Song of Solomon spells a lot. Because it's a book about marriage, and it's a book about love, and it's a book about the love we're supposed to express with each other in marriage. Which is one of the reasons why you probably saw as you came in, we are rating the series PG-12. Means if you have children fifth grade and under, we highly suggest that you use our amazing children's programs because it's a book about love and marriage and sex. And we're going to talk about those things. And I'm not going to read your emails. If you email me and say, hey, why'd you talk about that? I'm like, because we told you we were. And it's your job. Now, if you have kids sixth grade and above, they need to be in the room because they need to talk about it. If you don't want to talk about it, somebody's going to talk to them about it. I'd rather them hear what God has to say than what Justin Bieber has to say. See, half the room got that joke because we did a cool opener that had a funny Justin Bieber thing. You should really be here on time because the opener today was awesome. And no, don't clap. No, I'm not trying to make them feel bad. I'm just saying, you know, we plan great things. And next Sunday, I'm just going to tell you, I know what the opener is next Sunday. You're going to be talking about it for a week. You are. You're going to be talking about it. And if you're not here, you're going to miss it. And people are going to say, did you see that? You're going to say, no. And you're going to cry. Anyway. So that's where we're going, right? We're not going to be, I don't want to freak you out. We're not going to be any more graphic or talk about things that the Bible itself doesn't talk about. But we're going to be frank. It's going to be a real discussion about those things. Last thing I want to say before we kind of dive in is anytime you do a series like this, anytime you do a series about love and about marriage, there's a tendency for some people in the room to kind of turn off, right? If you're single today, you could easily just say, well, this doesn't apply to me. I'm going to turn this off because I'm not married. Yeah, but you want to be, right? Or maybe you're dating. Or maybe you're a teenager and you're beginning to enter that phase of dating. And see, what I think is this series is perfect for you. Because what this series is going to do for you is it's going to teach you God's plan and God's design. So you can walk into this or you can continue dating knowing like, this is how God wants this to work. You can build some boundaries for yourself and build some parameters. You can build some standards for what you are and are not going to accept. Ladies, I'm going to talk about that a lot. To the single ladies in the room, I'm going to talk a lot about the standards in your life. And I told them last hour, if you have your cell phones, get them ready. Because at some point today, you may need to text your boyfriend and break up. And you have my permission to say, my pastor says we have to break up. I don't care. Well, wait a minute. Unless he's like a bouncer. And then say, TJ says they have to break up. He's in way better shape than me. You know, got to use that CrossFit for something. So if you're married today, if you're here and you're married, this series is for you. Because everybody's marriage can get better. If you're here today and maybe you're sitting beside your spouse, but that's about as close as you are. You're sitting with each other, but in reality, you're worlds apart. You're here because somebody invited you. And I'm sitting here talking about marriage, and you're like, man, that's never going to happen for me. It's not going to work. Here's what I want to say to you. You don't have to take my word for it. You could take the word of the dozens of marriages, maybe even hundreds, that have been transformed by God. Marriages that were just like you years ago, and they sat in a seat just like you, and they listened to what God had to say, and they applied his principles, and they invited him in and made him the center of their marriage. And it completely transformed their life. All I'm asking for is for you to give God a chance, not me, give God a chance to do for you what he's done for so many others in this room. Right now. He could do it. I believe it with all my heart. So let's jump in. Don't worry. The series is going to be a little different. We're actually going to walk through the book of Song of Solomon. Typically, when I'm preaching, you know, I'll have a topic and we'll look at a little passage. We're going to look at more scripture in this series and pretty much any series we've ever done. We're kind of going to walk through the book and I'm going to read a little bit and talk a little bit, read a little bit and talk a little bit, and then I'll kind of sum it up at the end. But the reason I want to do it is because I want 3, 6, 12 months from now, when your marriage is struggling, when you feel like God doesn't have anything to say, I want you to remember, oh, wait a minute. Not only does God have something to say, God has an entire book about this issue. He has an entire book that talks all about the pain, the struggles, the joys, of marriage. Because don't worry, King Solomon and his wife, they do fight. And we're going to read about it. And they fight about a topic none of you have ever fought about ever. They fight about sex. I know you never have. But that's what they fight about. Now, time out 1 second. If I'm going to be up here putting myself out, you got to give me more than...
he said sex.
Like, you got to... We did the funny opener. Like, I need you with me. All right, we got to work together. All right, so let's go ahead and jump in. Here's where we're going to be. We're going to be at Song of Solomon. It's going to be up on the screen. And here's how it starts. It says, this is Solomon's Song of Songs, more wonderful than any other. This is just kind of the intro saying this is Solomon's song. This is more wonderful than any other. And what we're going to do today is we're going to see this couple at a typical day in their marriage, right? Today kind of sets the foundation. Today we're kind of going to introduce to Solomon, to Solomon's wife. They're the two main characters, and they speak the most. And there's actually a chorus that'll kind of comment on the action from time to time. And we're going to see them in a normal day today. They're married, a typical day. And today's going to kind of set the ideal, the standard that we're all going to think a fairy tale and crazy, but that I truly believe. When you take a man and a woman, you put God in the center, and you fill it with the commitment of marriage, and you say, God, we're going to do whatever it takes to please you with our marriage, with our life, that this is possible. Not only possible, this is God's plan. So let's dive in. We meet the woman first. She actually speaks more than the man in the Song of Psalms. I don't know where he got that idea from, but... She speaks more. And here she starts this way. Now, let's say right now, we don't ease into the book. We don't ease in. We jump right in and says this. Kiss me and kiss me again, for your love is sweeter than wine. How fragrant your cologne. Your name is like its spreading fragrance. No wonder all the women, all the young women love you. Take me with you. Come, let's run. The king has brought me into his bedroom. I really wish I had the Barry White. Hey, baby. I just can't. It's awful. Like, it's embarrassing. I can't do it. Let me explain to you what happened. Again, it's Hebrew poetry. It's poetry. It's kind of weird. It might be unclear. So let me clarify it for you. It is a normal work day. Solomon is getting ready for work. And his wife comes into the room and instigates a little encounter with him. I told you, it's a fairy tale. Wow. That was like a delay. Y'all are like, ha, 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 I get it, because the woman would never do that. Yeah. Oh, that makes me sad. But see, this is called the part of the sermon where all the men go, huh? That's God's plan? I knew that was God's plan. See, I told you. But let me show you something, right? Because this is going to be, beauty of this series is just when you are getting ready to throw that elbow and say, are you listening to this? God says, are you listening to this? Because I want you to see what she actually says. Let's go back. She says, how fragrant your cologne. Your name is like it's spreading fragrance. No wonder all the young women love you. See, in her brain, what she's saying is, man, you are so good looking. And you smell so good, and you're so great. All the women wish they had you, but I got you. Now, does she really believe that? I don't know, but she feels that way. And ladies, there was probably a point where you felt that way too. Maybe not any longer. Maybe about 30 pounds ago, you felt that way. But I want you to see why. She says, how fragrant your cologne. Dude, this was 3,000 years ago. They did not have hygiene. Brother did not smell good. There is no way he smelled good. But look what she says. She says, your name is like it's spreading fragrance. What she's saying is because of who you are as a person, because of your character, because of your integrity, because of your name, all the women want you. But I got you. That's what she's saying. She's saying who you are attracts me to you. Your name. See, at this time, Solomon was a man who did everything he could to please God with his life. And it was that action, it was his name that attracted her. So question for you, single ladies. Are you dating guys because of how they look? because you like their personalities, because of how much money they have, or are you dating them because of their name? Because of who they are as a person. Because of who they are as a core. Because of whose name they represent. Do they live for their own name? Or do they live for the name that is above every name? Do they represent themselves, or do they represent Jesus? Because Jesus is the only name we should ever actually try to represent to the world. So let me break it down for you, single ladies. That six pack, that one day is going to become a keg. It's gone. Boom. The cash, it could go away. But a man who lives his life for Christ, a man whose name shines above all, that'll never change. Now, men, the question for you is, whose name are you wearing? Whose name are you showing? Whose name would your wife say you live to promote every day? Is it you? Is it your business? Is it your career? Is it your kids? Is it their sporting events? Or is it the God of the universe? See, it was all good and great when she's in the room saying, let's go have a little something, something. But now that I'm telling you how that happened, you're like, oh, well, that's hard work. Yeah, I didn't say it was easy. I'm just telling you the steps. And Solomon was a man whose name shined above all. And it wasn't because of him and who he did. It was because of who he represented. The God of the universe. How about you? That's all I'm asking. How about you? Let's keep reading. She says, take me with you. Come, let's run. The king has brought me into his bedroom. Yes, they're in the bedroom. They're heading to the bedroom. And yes, they're going to do what you think they're going to do. Do with that what you will. On the way to the bedroom, on the way, Mrs. Solomon, the queen, keeps talking. She says this. She says, I am dark but beautiful, O women of Jerusalem. Dark as the tents of Kedar, dark as the curtains of Solomon's tents. Now, this is interesting. I have to explain that because it's Hebrew poetry. What's happening now is they're on the way to the bedroom. They're on their way to, you know, do what they're going to do. And she begins thinking about that. She begins thinking about she's going to take her clothes off. And some of her insecurities bubble to the surface. See, ladies, those don't go away when you get married. Her insecurities rise as she begins to express some of those insecurities. She's insecure because she was poor. I told you this is a fairy tale, right? She was a poor girl who actually married the king. I mean, she had it all. But she was poor. And the reason I know she was poor, she talks about being dark. Let's continue reading in verse 6. He says, don't stare at me because I'm dark. The sun has darkened my skin. My brothers were angry with me. They forced me to care for their vineyards, so I couldn't care for myself, my own vineyard. What she's basically saying is, I don't know who I am to be here. I married the king. He could have had any woman he wanted. I haven't had the finest manicures and pedicures on my life. I haven't been able to take care of myself. I had to work in the fields. My skin is darkened because of it. I'm clearly a working girl. And she begins to be insecure about her appearance and insecure about what's about to happen with her husband. All these emotions just start running wild. And then her mind kind of runs away from her. And she even begins to wonder, oh, you know what? He is so much better than me. And, oh, I'm all this. I wonder if he's telling me the truth. And I wonder where he's going. I wonder what he's going to do later today. She even asks a question. She says, so tell me, my love, where are you leading your flock today? Where will you rest your sheep at noon? So now she's talking about later today, once he leaves the house. So let's pause for one moment. Our boy Solomon is simply getting ready for work. Probably watching SportsCenter. Just chilling out. He's shaving. Out of nowhere, his wife comes on to him and says, hey, baby, how about some good time before you leave? And he's like, I can pause this, sure. So he pauses it. Oh, come on, don't. Yeah, right, like you've never done it. I can pause this. And then somehow, again, ladies, this is hypothetical. Somehow, on the way to the bedroom, her mood changes. I don't know where Solomon got this from. And she begins to wrestle with some insecurity. She starts asking the greatest hits of questions. Do you think I'm pretty? Am I as pretty as her? What do you think about this dress? What are you going to do at work today? Tell me about work. Where are you going? Well, can I come? Can I come? Can I call you? And she wants to talk. And she wants to ask all those questions. Now, men, before we see what Solomon does, what would you do? What would you do if you were minding your own business? Your wife says, come on, come on, come on. And once you get in, she's like, so? You just think I'm fat, don't you? You would be like, what? Huh? You'd be looking for cameras like, am I being punked right now? What is happening? Probably react not ahead. But I want you to see how Solomon reacts, because this is the key to today. This is the key. Watch what Solomon does. In his best Barry White voice, he says, she says, where are you going? He says, oh, if you don't know, O most beautiful woman, follow the trail of my flock and graze your young goats by the shepherd's tents. A lot of poetry there. You know what he's saying? He's saying, baby, you don't ever have to worry about me. I love you. You're mine. You're the queen of my life. I'm going to be exactly where you think I'm going to be. And if you want to know, come on, let's go. See, he hears her. He hears, uh-oh, something's going on. His radar goes off. I don't know what's happening, but she's hurting right now. And because he's a man who honors God with his life, he understands that God's design is you put your wife before yourself. And he says, okay, who cares how I feel? Baby, what's wrong? Oh, you're, really? Baby, let me tell you how beautiful I think you are. And he starts going. He says, you are as exciting, my darling, as a mare among Pharaoh's stallions. Dudes, tell your wife she looks like a horse. It works. Tell her. Tell her. I told you I was going to hook you up. Again, poetry. What he's saying is this. He says, you are as a mare among Pharaoh's stallions. A mare is a female horse, stallions are male horses. What she's saying, what he's saying is, baby, you're so good looking. All other women look like dudes compared to you. That's how beautiful you are. See, that sounds a lot better, right? Then, baby, you a horse. You got that horse face. Rock it. But he keeps going. He can tell. He's like, something's going on, man. She's insecure. She needs to be made whole. She needs to be made secure. And it's my job to fix it. So he keeps going. How lovely are your cheeks? Your earrings set them afire. How lovely is your neck enhanced by a string of jewels? We will make for you earrings of gold and beads of jewelry. He tells her she's beautiful, and then he buys her some jewelry. Yes. All the women say, amen. Right? I mean, that's so good, you got to get a little Pentecostal about it. Compliments and jewelry, it's not even Valentine's Day. Here's what's happening. Here's what's happening. Solomon's doing whatever it takes to make his wife feel completely safe and completely secure in his love for her. Because that is the highest calling of a husband. And that's what he's doing. Doesn't matter what he was doing. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter what she said. He hears that she's in trouble. That she feels insecure. He does everything he can to ease her insecurities, to make her feel good about herself, to make her feel satisfied in herself, to make her feel safe and secure in who she is. Single ladies, does your boyfriend make you feel like you're perfect just the way you are? Or does he have a bar that he just seems to always raise a little bit more depending on what it is he wants at that moment? This is the point in the service where you take out your phone, you text him, my pastor says we have to break up. Because you're settling for less than God's absolute best for your life. Because this isn't just a fairy tale. It is God's plan. It is God's command that you be married and you live in a relationship with a man who loves you so much, who elevates you so much, that he puts your needs above his own. And men, you might say, well, that sounds like a lot of work. That doesn't seem fair. That seems hard. Really? Did you not hear how we started today? If you want that to happen, if you want God's results, you got to do it God's way. And look what happens. Look what happens. They get to the bedroom and Solomon's working his magic. He's talking. He's telling her how much he loves her. She's beautiful. He's hearing her needs. He's meeting her needs. And wouldn't you know it? Verse 12, she's talking again. The king is lying on his couch, enchanted by the fragrance of my perfume. They're now in the bedroom and he's on the couch. And she says this, my lover is like a sachet of myrrh lying between my breasts. He's like a bouquet of sweet henna blossoms from the vineyards of En Gedi. I know none of you know what a sachet of myrrh is, but all the men said, I'd like to be one of those, please. I don't know what it is, but that I'd like that. Do you know what it actually means? You know what she says? Because he's close to her heart. What she's saying is she's verbally affirming him for what he's just done. She's saying, you just made me feel safe. You just made me feel secure. I brought my insecurities to you, and you made me feel better. You spoke to me. Your actions warmed my heart. And I appreciate that. That's what she said. And then she begins to return the favor. Well, first he tells her again, says, how beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful. Your eyes are like doves, horse and doves. That's the key. You're like a horse, you're like a dove. Those are the two things. And then she responds, how handsome you are, my beloved. He might have been good looking. He might not. Ladies, tell your husbands he's good looking, even if he's not. You know, even if he's not. Because come on. We hit an age and it just goes downhill. But, you know, tell him he's good looking. But look what she says. She says, my husband, you are, how handsome you are, my husband, and so pleasant. He's pleasant. Isn't that nice? My wife, she loves me so much. She's never told me I was pleasant. Not once in our marriage. She said, you're so pleasant. But here's the look. She says, indeed, our couch is luxuriant. The beams of our houses are cedars. Our rafters are cypress. And you may be wondering, okay, they're about to, you know, have some special time. Why is he talking about the ceiling and why is she describing the house? Well, she's returning the favor. See, I don't know if you know this or not. Men and women are different. They're you know, and one of a woman's biggest needs from a relationship is that safety and security. For whatever reason, one of a man's biggest needs is respect and admiration. And what she's doing is she is complimenting his provision for the family. That's what she's doing. Ladies, when's the last time you told your husband thank you for anything? Thanks for taking out the trash. You are the best trash taker-outer ever. Thanks for changing that diaper. And you're like, yeah, but I changed the last 500. It doesn't matter. We think changing a diaper is a big deal. And we want to be praised when we change a diaper, even when we do it incorrectly. See, it's all about giving to each other. He seeks to give her security. She seeks to give him respect and adoration. And it just goes back and forth and back and forth. Ladies, are you dating a man that you can respect? Is he a man worthy of your respect? If not, bye-bye. Don't settle for anything less than God's absolute best for your life. Men, are you living a life worthy of respect? Are you living a life worthy of that type of response? It's God's plan. It's God's design. It's the way God wants it to work. And so what happens is we skip down just a few verses, and Solomon's wife kind of gives us the key for today when it comes to the men, because we've been talking about, you know, she was struggling, she was insecure, he met her needs, they are in the bedroom and, you know, whatever. And then she says this, and jump down to the second chapter in verse 3, she's describing her husband again, and she says, like the finest apple tree in the orchard is my lover among young men. I sit in his delightful shade and taste his delicious fruit. I sit in his shade. What that means is I sit under his protection. The reason she feels that way about her husband is because he goes out of his way at all times to make her feel safe. to make her feel secure in his love for her, the same way Jesus Christ went out of his way to make sure we felt secure in his love for us. See, that's the reason that the standard for men is to love our wives as Christ himself loves us. Because that is a complete, unflinching, unquestioning, non-manipulative, non-game-playing, security-giving type of love. And she feels that. And she feels completely safe and protected in her relationship, which is what gives her the confidence to approach him on a Tuesday morning while he's watching SportsCenter and say, come on, let's go. See, it goes hand in hand. And that's probably my biggest challenge for the married men in the room today. Does your wife feel 100% secure in your love for her? Or does she question? Does she have to compete with other things? Does she know you love her and think she's beautiful? Or does she know you wish she'd change about five things and then maybe you'll love her and think she's beautiful? Just asking. Just a question. But if you want what they have, you have to do what they've done. You have to choose to say, okay, this is worth it. This is enough for me. Ladies, how about your husbands? Do they feel loved and respected by you? Do they feel appreciated for their hard work? Or every time they come home late from work, do you yell at them because they missed dinner rather than thank them for staying at work to close the deal to pay for dinner? I'm just asking. I'm just asking a question. Do you keep raising the bar on him, and every time he thinks he's got it, oh, it's got to be a little better? See, it works both ways. And it's hard work, folks. I'm going to tell you it's not hard work. The book itself acknowledges that it's hard work. Because the last verse we're going to read today before we pick up next week, the last thing the queen says, she's sort of talking to us. And she says, promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is right. And let me just be very clear. She's talking about sex. And what she's saying, look at this whole picture. Look how we love each other. Look how we're committed to each other. Look how hard we work for each other. Do not take the physical step of intimacy until you have this emotional intimacy already. Do not take this physical step until you have the security, ladies, of a lifelong commitment. Do not take this step, men, until you have fully and completely committed yourself to them. See, it doesn't work any other way. As we're going to talk about through this entire series, sex is a gift for marriage. And in marriage, we're going to see it in the book, man. Party, party time. Woo! Yeah! But outside, hey, it's just, the time's not right. And man, if you're here today and you're single, man, I hope you'll listen to that. Especially if you're here today and you're a teenager, and you're just beginning to make the decisions of what you will and won't do as you're dating and who you will date. Man, please, young men, date a woman who is more attracted to the fact that you love Jesus than she is attracted to you. Young ladies, date a man who is more interested in pleasing God with his life than you and your friends. Build incredibly strict boundaries of what you will and won't do. We'll talk more about that as we go. But part of God's design for marriage begins as you work your way towards marriage. See, you can't try it one way and then put the ring on and say, oh, it's all going to be different now. Because it's not how it works. But it's okay. So we're going to talk about for the rest of the series. Today, I just want to leave you with a quick question. If you're single today, I want to ask you a quick question. I want you to think about this week. As you think about all the things God talked about and all the standards, next week we're going to actually talk specifically about dating. It's going to be fantastic. But I want you to ask yourself this question. If you're single or if you're preparing to enter this dating world and relationships, ask yourself this question. Are you the person you're looking for is looking for? In other words, would you date you? Because what if you met the one tomorrow? Would they think you were the one? Are there some areas where you need to step up your game? Men, do you need to begin honoring God with your life? Women, do you need to begin honoring God with your life? Use this series, maybe not to chase, but to prepare yourself. To prepare yourself for the relationship God wants to give you when the time is right. And if you're married today, I'll leave you with the question I just mentioned. Men, does your wife feel secure in your love for her? Does she know without a shadow of a doubt, 100%, you love her, you're with her? You're not going to manipulate her, you're not going to take advantage of her? Do you see her insecurities as something that it is your job to shield and protect? Or do you sometimes, just sometimes, tweak them a little bit when you need something done? It's not God's standard. Certainly not his name. Certainly not what he would do. So men, does your wife know? Does she feel secure in your love for her? If the answer is no, do whatever it takes to change that this week. That's your one homework assignment. Ladies, wives, does your husband know you respect and appreciate him for what he's done? If the answer is no, change it. And I don't want to hear, yeah, but he did this and he didn't do that, and she didn't do this and she didn't do that. I know. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. The only thing you can change is yourself. Husbands, do whatever it takes to make your wife feel secure in your love for her. Wives, do whatever it takes to make your husband feel loved and appreciated and admired for who he is. See, the beauty of a relationship with God is that God loved us before we loved back. So you can give before you get back. But here's my guarantee. If you pray and you invite God into your marriage, and you each begin just this week to apply this one principle, husbands, make your wife feel secure. Wives, make your husbands feel admired. And you just give as hard as you can. Just give. When you don't feel like giving, give some more. When you feel like he's going to fight, just give. When there's a struggle, give. Do whatever it takes to see who can get out and give each other. Even in 1 week, your marriage will be different. Is it going to be perfect? Absolutely not. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. Solomon and his wife fight. We're going to see it in a few weeks. Will it be better? Absolutely. Why will it be better? Because it's more aligned with God's design. He planned it. He's given it to you. And if we want the fairy tale, if we want the picture of what we saw Solomon and his wife have, we have to embrace his plan. I believe you will. When you do, you'll have a love and a marriage that you never thought possible. Let me pray for you. God, we love you so much. Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you that your word is so clear, that you are so practical, that you've given us an entire book just about love and dating and relationships and marriage. Lord, I just pray right now that you will speak to each one of us individually, Holy Spirit. Tell us exactly what it is you want us to do. What steps you want us to take, how we need to prepare ourselves if we're single, and how we can give to each other if we're married. Husbands, we can give security. Wives, we can give respect and admiration. Father, keep these things on our minds this week. Give us opportunities to show this to our spouses and bring us back next Sunday to hear more of your design for fairy tale love. Today's the beginning, Father. And we thank you that you will be faithful to complete it. It's in your Son's amazing name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.com.